All right, everybody, welcome to Broker Boys. This is the second episode. If you haven't checked out the first episode, go ahead and check that out. It's, you know, what to use to get into the stock market. This episode, we are going to talk about more definitions of what things are. What is a stock? What is an option? What is any of this stuff? So all these episodes are going to be kind of short to keep you interested, to keep you in. So let's jump right in. So I'm going to go ahead and share the screen here. So we got stocks. So most people would ask, what are stocks? Stocks are securities that represent a ownership share in a company. For companies, issuing a stock is a way to raise money to grow and invest in their business. For investors, stocks are a way to grow their money and outpace inflation over time. When you own stock in a company, you are called a shareholder because you share in the company's profits. So, I mean, pretty much all it is for the layman, you own a part of the company. You're taking little parts of it. You can take bigger parts. And technically, you can't. Well, I mean, does the CEO like own like 50% of the company, Derek?
Depends on the company.
So could you?
Most CEOs are paid in stock options.
Could you technically outbuy a company, like buy like their
Time out. Warren Buffett did it. He talks about it was one of the worst investments he ever made because this one guy went back on a deal that him and Warren Buffett had together. And then so Warren Buffett bought 51% of the shares. And then that same day, the guy quit instead of, getting humiliated by getting fired.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then Warren Buffett says it was the worst decision he ever made because it cost him so much money to get that petty revenge.
Well, yeah, but he's still stupid rich.
Technically, you can. I mean, as a retail investor, it's just not possible.
No, as a retail, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just had to clarify that because I was like, I just heard the story.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I mean by no. Like, yes, obviously, it is possible to own that many shares, but, like, there's normally not enough shares tradable in the market to own that amount of the company because either the company still owns that amount of shares or big time long term hedge funds own that amount of shares, or the company owns through warrants and other things that they can release. So say you do buy 51% of the company,
yeah,
they can release more shares into the market to dilute what you own because they have things called warrants and other things like that that they can release into the market for more shares and things like that. So the answer is, like Tron said, yes, you can. But at the same time,
you just got to be Warren Buffett rich.
Yeah.
We're not even that. He didn't pick it, he's not going to go buy Coca-Cola. You know what I mean? Like, you can't do Coca-Cola. Like, you could definitely go own half the company of like a penny stock.
It was a textile company back in the early 90s.
So if I come through and, you know, buy like a shitload of penny stocks. And
you can potentially own like 10 to 20% of a company, no problem, you know. But then the thing is, too, like, they're diluted through ETFs. And, you know, hopefully we can talk about that, too, what those are.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's another way, too, that they can protect themselves.
Yeah, and that jumps right into, ETFs, actually. Hey-o.
Perfect segue.
But, like, a lot of people, like, I was, like, wondering what that fucking ETF is. An ETF is a exchange-traded fund. It's a type of security that tracks an index, sector, commodity, or other asset, but which can be purchased or sold on a stock exchange, same as a regular stock. An ETF can be structured to track anything from the price of an individual commodity to large and diverse collections of securities, like energy, oil, that kind of stuff. ETFs can be structured to track specific investment strategies. So what were you saying, Derek?
A couple ETFs that like people should definitely pay attention to. SPY. SPY is the ETF that tracks the S&P 500. So basically tracks the market. It goes up and down with the market. It's absolutely one of the ones that people should have in their portfolio just to watch. It also, if you invest in SPY, it pays you dividends as well. So it's a decent one to get into. But that's just one that is nice to have, because literally if you look at what's in SPY, it's all the top trading stocks in the market at any one given time.
Okay, so SPY, it's an S&P 500. Okay, that's nice.
Not necessarily own it, but definitely always watch it, because if SPY is going up, there's more than likely the market's going to go up. If SPY is going down, more than likely the market's going down.
And then what is an S&P 500?
That is it's the top 500 companies trading technically on exchanges.
All right, cool. So, yeah, if I wanted to buy in at SPY, it'd be 394. And this is not financial advice, so don't, come crying if you lose your money. But, yeah, it's 394.08 right now to buy a share. And anytime I look at anything, I, give it the once over. How has it done? Oh, yeah, it's like that that COVID, took a dive on it. But that's pretty much any stock.
Yep. It went down about 300. Down to almost 200. Most of my SPY shares when I had it were around 230 to 290. And then I bought some more right about 315 and 330.
And then, it doesn't look like you can. Oh, you can. Oh, nice. You can even do options on it.
Yep. If you're going to play SPY options, weeklies are the most of the thing that you play. You can play dailies. So you can literally, if you think the stock is going to go up from Tuesday to Wednesday, you can bet on it going up from Tuesday to Wednesday. You can bet on it going up to Thursday. It's crazy. There's a lot of people that trade SPY because it's a quick way to make money. And it's a really easy way to make money as long as the market does exactly what you're betting on.
No, actually, it's not too expensive to get into SPY. But that does drop me into my next thing. What is stock options? So options are great ways to lose money. stock option gives the investor the right but not the obligation to buy or sell a stock at an agreed upon price and date. There are two types of options, puts, which are a bet that the stock will fall, or calls, which are a bet the stock will rise. So if you come in and buy into a option, say I want to buy SPY and I think it's going to go up to $400, I can buy it 100 options at $48, but if it doesn't hit that $400, that it'll expire worthless.
And the thing with SPY is if you're buying it on the daily or weekly, like it's like the Greeks, which are the numbers that affect and the algorithms that go into affecting options and stuff like that, those will be super volatile and will decay really rapidly for that time. So not advice, but I like to play options a couple months out because it gives the stock plenty of time to recover and plenty of time to move in the direction that I want it to move.
Okay,
I don't play very many puts because I don't believe the stock market goes down as often as most people do. So I most likely won't even play it. Even if I think the stock is going to go down, I'll most likely move on to something else because I prefer to play calls.
Holy shit.
It's truth. What was your saying? Life's too short for the puts.
Yeah, life's too short to bet on unders and puts.
But I like puts.
That is financial advice.
Yeah, to buy a SPY call at $400 for the end of September, it's almost $2,000.
Yep, but if the market keeps doing what it's doing right now, there's no reason why SPY wouldn't be over $400 at least once by September. Probably end of summer, we'll see 400.
See, and since we're talking really quickly about option buys right now, right?
Yeah.
So in my limited time of trading options, right, I have realized that if I think it's going to go up at the end of this month, I am going to buy the option for the middle of next month. So it gives it a little bit more time because you could always sell the option off early.
Yep. It just gives a cushion.
But that's literally what I found, because two options that I played, I called on, and like it hit what I thought it was, but it hit a week after my options expired. And then the options that I've just played out a little bit longer, they've generally have hit before the option expired because I thought it was going to expire earlier. I just bought the option further back just in case.
Yeah.
And do that with the same with the call.
I mean, like, you know, anytime you like look at, you know, your, you know, account and it just does that. That's the stuff you like to see, just a straight line up.
So Tron, when you say hit, you can say in the money. That means your option's hitting.
Fair enough. In the money.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but just so you know the terminology. So if you hear someone say, like, when the option's in the money or out of the money or OTM or ITM or at the money means it's at your break even point. It's like right where it's supposed to be. Uh-huh. You buy it right where the stock is trading. And then if you buy it in the money, it's when the stock's crossed over into the threshold and now you're making profits.
And so, like, just a quick example as well. Like, I don't know if you can see that.
Yeah.
But with that big down dip, that down dip was before the option expired because it, what's it called? It took a dive and then it went straight up. Not straight up like his, but it went straight up.
It's a good chart, though. It's a good looking chart for that option.
Yeah. I mean, like mine.
And then, Sean, you can sing the song. You can sing the song. In the money. In the
money. No, I go Wu-Tang Clan. Cash rules everything around me. dollar bill, y'all. But
so I know we comment on the S&P 500. There is a little comment. The stock Penn, which is Penn National Gaming, which is the company that runs, I believe it's FanDuel's or Barstool Sports. I think it's Barstool Sports, actually, as their online gambling site. They're out of Pennsylvania, and they own most of the like the casinos in Pennsylvania. They're getting included S&P 500 this week, so it's big. It's big news. So expect that stock to go up drastically. It was already up $9 just Friday afternoon, after hours.
So like get. You know, not financial advice, but jump into FanDuel's or
no, jump into PENN.
PENN, okay.
Penn.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying really hard not to finish it, but yeah, you know what I mean. IS.
I know. I'm really trying hard.
Them and I forget the other name of the other stock that's getting included.
Oh my gosh, look at it. It's going up. Trade options. Let's see.
Bro, Derek, you see how...
You can't, it's Sunday.
You see how...
I can put it in, though.
No, don't put it in.
Don't put it in?
You should absolutely do it. So this is... All right, Derek, explain this advice because you were 100% right when you explained this to me the first time.
Okay. So when you play options are only available to trade between 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 4:30 p.m. or 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the normal time of the market. Okay. But the stock can move after hours and pre-market. And because that news came out on Friday that stock is going to get included to the S&P 500, the news didn't break until after the day trading was done. So the option prices you're seeing doesn't have that $9 jump included.
So when you
put and then sorry, Sean, sorry to interrupt you, Sean. But at 4 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, so 2 a.m. our time, that stock is now going to be open to trading in the pre-market. But you can't do options yet. You have to wait till 7 a.m. our time to trade options. So that stock price is going to get manipulated probably to 150, if not 160-ish by then.
So just buy them. Okay, that's
no. So basically,
I would just if you want, buy shares. And, put a market order in for shares.
And then when he's talking about the option play, so because the market before market and everything before you could buy that option, it changes on the price. So you could be sitting there all day thinking that this contract is going to be filled. But if there's no contract sold at that price, it will not get filled and you will not be in that game. And then you won't realize it till the end of the market. And then you have to redo it again the next day. And that's it, even if it's worth it at that point. And again, only reason why I say that is because he showed it to me, and I was like, and I told him, me and him were very open about it, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to try it just in case. He's like, you could try it in just in case, but I'm just letting you know this is what's going to happen. And then it happened. And I was like,
and the thing is too is like, is that's the kind of experience that sometimes you have to learn for yourself.
Yeah.
And the trauma, what you said was exactly right on, like knowing that like you can put the order in, but it may not get filled unless someone like. Because like what you said though about someone having to be on the other end, like that's what you have to understand about options is there is always a buyer and there's always a seller.
That's the same thing with GameStop. Like if it goes
right
up to 100,000, yes. No one's buying it.
Well, there might be people that try to buy it. You know what I mean?
People are still buying Bitcoin at 55.
Oh, it went up to 60.
People are buying Bitcoin at 61, dude.
Oh, it went up to 61 now?
It hit 61 yesterday. Not right now, but it hit 61 yesterday.
Yeah, I'm like I have my Coinbase.
I follow a Bitcoin trader, and the dude trades crypto futures. That's just bonkers.
Oh, dude, like there is one Decentraland, like, and we'll get into cryptocurrencies later, but
in real talk though. So going back to Penn, I do recommend you guys buy shares of Penn because I think it's one of the best.
What do you think it's going to go up to?
I think it could be a $200 stock.
Okay, I'll buy two shares of them for $280.
So
I would spend my $280 and buy $280 shares of Funko because I think that's going to go up to $2,800 again.
See, my benefit of having the shares though is like if it doesn't do what I want it to do. It's not going to completely screw me.
Yeah, well, you're not going to have a zero bottom where you don't have anything worth money. You're still going to have $280 eventually.
Right, yeah.
But there's a gambling ETF now, and I can't remember the name of it. I want to say it's Buzz, but I don't think that's right. That's a different one. Hang on a second. Let me find this.
Now, really quickly, I know that you were talking that life is too short for puts, right? But this, and again, I'm not financial advice, especially because I'm fucking the poorest one here. So obviously I wasn't doing the best. But I think when you could tell that you're in a market downturn, playing the puts is super financially helpful.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But for me, I would rather play go hashtag cash gang and then just hold my money and get my long-term positions better with that money instead of playing puts.
No, that's totally fair. And like,
that's just my style investing.
Yep. Yeah, I was just going to say that's the two different investors' mindsets. Cause when we were in that stock market downturn, if I had capital at that time, I would have played puts. But since I didn't have very much capital, I played the long game and just bought some stock. And that those stocks that I already bought are already up $3. Again, I know it's not much, but when we're talking percentages, it's up 30% because they were at $10 when I bought them.
Right. That's perfect. See, I'd rather play it safe during market downturns and continue to risk money that I've already been risking in the first place.
Heard.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like for me, my next big thing is when I have to learn when to exit bad positions, like bad options, and knowing that they're not going to come back, instead of hoping and waiting, you know. But then I say this is that though, but I played a Penn 319, 145 call. And it's sitting at 140 after it dipping to my option was worthless 4 days ago.
Right.
So, but I held it because I told you 2 weeks ago, I believed in 319 to be a good week. I thought this was going to be a good week for our options. And now it's going to probably push past that and I'll make money off this one option. to cover my losses on everything else that I played.
Yep. Now,
so that ETF that I wanted to tell you about, the sports gambling ETF, it's called BETZ, B-E-T-Z. And this is an ETF that marks all the sports gambling sites.
Now,
I highly recommend buying shares of that.
Another thing I wanted to discuss when we and you were just talking, like the downturns and playing the puts versus playing like buying safe investments. If this, again, not financial advice, again, poorest one of the group. But every time there is a market dip, if you have any what's called expendable cash, I would go ahead and even if you're buying fractional shares, buy what you can during each dip.
Yeah, absolutely. That's not financial advice. That's common sense. Like if you're in the stock market game, obviously you want your share price to be lower. If you buy a stock at $40 and it dips to $20 and you got $20, why not buy a share? Now your share price is $30. Like it's common mathematics. You know what I mean? It's just,
but no, not a lot of people, that is. Not a lot of people see it because again, as a new investor, when I originally had my $200 and then I saw that $200 drop to $50 in 1 week, it did not feel good. But then I had $50 more and I put that $50 more into the stock while it was down. So now my $200 is at $50 and I put another $50 in and now that portfolio is at $400. And that's like we're out of that dip now and all that extra gains plus what I just put in, it helped out a lot. And I just wanted to put that out there because again, being a new person, as soon as I saw that $200 go to 50, again, doesn't sound like a lot to a lot of people, but when it's a lot to you, it does not feel good. And you're like, I want to get out of this bad game. And then talking to you and getting an investor's mindset and just buying on the dip when I had the extra money and then now it's back up again, it worked perfect. And it's not going to always work perfect, obviously. But, like, I just wanted to point that out since we're talking for, like, the common person. Me as a common person, I got scared and I was going to leave. And then you talked me off the ledge.
It's due to emotions. The emotions run wild, man. You start seeing your money flush down the toilet. Like, that's your emotion. You have to put those in check. And the best investors know how to do that. And every single one of the dudes that are the best investors went through what you're going through with very little money, and they had to get started somewhere, and it is a roller coaster. And that's why, you know, when I told you about option investing, I said, hey man, I just started a fire, start tossing money and tell me when to stop, you know? And that's literally what I believe in options. And if you understand that's the style of investing, if it's not for you, then it's not for you. There are plenty of other, I have friends that invest in the most boring stocks of all time. It's called the Russell. Look up the Russell thing. It moves like a penny a day, like 2 pennies a day, but it tracks really good stocks. It just doesn't move. And it just goes really slow over time, 5-10 years, no big deal. People buy US bonds 50 years later, they're a millionaire. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But that's not my style. So everyone's got their own plan. Everyone's got their own stuff. Everyone's got their own thing.
I feel like everyone's like mom like bought him some bonds.
Oh, one last thing.
Hey, back in the 80s and 90s, that was the way to go.
Yeah, it was. One last thing I for sure wanted to touch basis on, just again, since we're talking like on this episode of like terminologies and stuff, FOMO is a real thing. FOMO, fear of missing out. The once-in-a-lifetime opportunities happen all the time, so there is no such thing as a one-in-a-lifetime opportunity. If you missed one, it's okay. Pick up your toys and go to the next one. You don't have to buy in on all the hype. Again, this is just talking from my small, very little bit, but that little bit of those two things I said will keep you either in or out of the game because of just like Derek said, the emotions of it.
Yeah. I mean,
and if someone's telling you to pay for a guide on how to invest in the stock market, I guarantee you can find it for free. You're just paying that guy to follow his trades. That's all you're paying for. The real guys you need to follow are the dudes that do it for free. Those dudes are making the real money. The guys that are doing it for the guides are going to make money off you paying for the guide, and that's how they're going to stay in business. And they're going to find a $2 penny stock for you to fucking pump because they have that many, that have enough followers. So never pay for a guide to investing in the stock market when you can either go online and buy the book yourself on Amazon, or you can just figure it out by watching YouTube videos.
Yeah, YouTube videos. I mean, if you're ballsy, you know, you can go to Reddit and Wall Street Bets. There's plenty of other better, safer options on Reddit. r/options, r/stocks. But do your due diligence. Don't, again, not financial advice. We're not trying to, you know, throw you over here. Go check it. But, you know, I did a YOLO and, you know, went into GameStop and it paid out good. I did get in at 3:30 at one point.
Time out.
What?
You did get in at 3:30 at one point, but then most of your getting in was way lower than the high point, correct?
Yeah. I mean, Tron here said, stop buying that stock.
No. I said stop buying it at that high of a price. When it went back down to 51, I was totally for it. I just didn't have any money for it. Yeah, but like,
the cannon's being reloaded, boys.
So I just wanted to let everyone know, like, when we're talking the FOMO, like, this is a great example. When he bought it at the high price of the three, you didn't buy very much of it then,
I bought
right?
one stock at 3:30.
And then the rest of your stock you bought lower, obviously, correct?
Yeah, I bought 100 or lower. I'm like, let's go in. Let's do it.
So now, when you bought that one at 3:30, that was on the first uptrend, correct?
Yeah, it was doing that. And okay. Then,
so you bought it because of the FOMO part, correct?
I bought it because I like the stock.
No. You bought it at 3:30 because of the FOMO part, right? Because you thought it wasn't going to drop again, correct?
I thought it was going to go up to at least 1,000.
Okay. So then him buying at 3:30, and then when it dropped back, you bought some more when it dropped back, right?
Yeah. Like, so, I see those dips. I'm like, oh, discounts for me?
So
thank you.
If he would have held out on that FOMO or that 3:30 and would have then bought back out any of the other points of his dips, he would have been able to change out one stock into multiple stocks. And that's what I just mean by FOMO. Again, it's nothing bad, and I'm not trying to like...
Yeah, I could have had 10 more stocks.
I just wanted to explain, like, that's a perfect FOMO explanation right there of it. Because it still works out where you still made money, but you could have made more if you didn't worry about the FOMO.
I'm still diamond handing. I still have my stocks.
But he did good because he did something called dollage cost averaging, which means he got his share price down by buying more cheaper price and averaging his share price down. That's like pro investing right there.
No, for sure.
You know, like one of those things where like we bought into Roblox and I still think our share price around the 60s is high. I think we can get that price down to the 40s. This has to be a dip.
Yeah, my Roblox is
going to run this. And I honestly think it's going to run this week. It's going to run this week, probably next week. And then people are going to take some profits, I think. Because there's been people that have been in since IPO and stuff like that. They're probably haven't collected their profits yet.
Man, if I could have got in at the IPO 45, I would have collected profits right when it hit 78 or 77, I think was the max hit. I would have sold half and then rebought back in.
And then what is an IPO for the people who are listening?
Initial public offering.
What is that?
It's right when
the public can actually get in.
Yeah, go ahead, Derek.
So retail traders can get in. Sorry, I'm not going to keep cutting you off. So basically it's the first time that it's available to the public on the stock market. There's ways you can get in beforehand. You can buy merger companies, you can buy warrants, you can buy other types of long-term plays. I forget what they're called, the exact name of it, but basically you're just betting on this stock to actually make it to the stock market is what you do. And so Roblox went in with a merger company and then went from merger to IPO. And I think it IPO'd, actually it didn't. They raised enough money between this merger company and them that they actually skipped the IPO and went to direct listing. That's
correct.
Why we never had a chance to get in.
Correct. And then
so they went and,
Before the IPO, even to get in there, you have to buy a big chunk of them. Like it's blocks that you have to buy instead of like a share or like a couple of shares.
Okay, so like 100 shares?
It depends.
That's what do you mean by that is warrants? That's the warrants thing I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You buy like percentages of the company.
There you go.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And like you can buy like 0.001%, but they make the price. You know what I'm saying? I've never looked into this style investing. No site that I trade on uses this style investing, so I've never looked into it.
And
I mean,
I've looked into is merger companies, IPOs, and future investing.
And the only reason why
Weeble offers it.
The only reason why I know about that is because I was looking into IPOs, and then in looking into IPOs, I didn't know it was called a warrant of what he's talking about, but they were talking about like before IPOs, you have to buy like parts of it, and mm-hmm. it's actually like in the thousands. You can't buy it in like hundreds or even dollars. Like it's a lot.
It's a legit gamble too.
Yeah, because if it doesn't make it, then it doesn't make it.
So like the warrants can buy like and literally, well, like you can buy it one day and like the number that's linked to your warrant to like call in and see about the company just be disconnected and your warrant's worthless.
Yep.
So it's like a crazy option.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's options on steroids.
Oh, that's
it's like Stewie when he beat up Brian.
It's like a belief in a company.
Yeah, like I
bet. So like, imagine a company coming out like Beyond Meat, okay?
Yeah.
So like imagine a company coming out like Beyond Meat, right?
Okay.
And then imagine that company, but like it gets traction and it's going to be like, hey, they're going to come out and they're going to open up partnered with Starbucks, McDonald's, Burger King, something else. Like this is just a fictional company, right? But they have those guarantees and contracts. Like that is a guaranteed warrant bet. Like I would put some money down on that knowing that they're going to have signed contracts for their food to go out before it even made it to the stock market or people tried it. I would bet on that. You know what I mean? But like, you know, you can bet on like, you know, some people they like new sports teams will sometimes do warrants just so they can get enough money for their stadium and stuff like that. You know, like Plug came from a warrant. That was like a hypothetical company. It was crazy. Plug opened up when it first started being traded over $200.
By the way, hypothetical with sports and warrants and just bringing this up, there's a slight rumor mill going around that NBA is looking to expand their teams to recoup some of their losses and stuff, looking to expand one in Vegas and one somewhere else as well.
They should just do extreme NBA.
You're back up to Seattle, bro.
Yeah.
The market, you're in Seattle for sure.
Yeah, but we're just talking about, so I wanted to bring that up because that was something else random in the pipeline of, you know, money making.
Yeah,
I mean, that's always what it is. And as always, just do your, you know, do your own research. Do like, you know, research, just look at it yourself. Look at it with an open mind. You might lose some money. You might gain some money. Like I've lost money on a lot of my stocks, like Plantier. Sorry, they're like, oh yeah, you lost money. Roadblocks.
Hold that for 10 years, dog.
Oh yeah, no, it's going to be a stock that just sits.
One other terminology I wanted to touch bases on before we end this podcast because yeah. It's going up. DD. If you ever see that, it's due diligence. Again, if you don't know,
trust me. Like I was wondering that for the longest time. I'm like, what the heck is DD?
And I know, and nobody says anything. So again. How he Alex earlier brought up r/options again, not promoting any spot because we were not part of that, not being any financial advice or anything, but like in r/options at least they're really cool with explaining things. When you look into like somebody asking a question in r/options, they'll have some people that actually explain it. So I did want to give that as a good resource because that's where I found out what DD is, calls, puts, other stuff like that too.
Multi-leg options, but we'll get into that later.
Yep.
Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week with more stuff. More, you know, probably get deeper into options a little bit.
Talk about some leap options.
Yeah. You know, multi-legs, whatever.
And some long-term holdings.
Yeah.
Some ETFs.
No, nah, man. Long-term holdings for suckers. We're talking about fast money. Let's go.
What? I mean,
we're going to set your, we're gonna get your kids set up.
No, 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 no. We're not using options for kids set up. We're using stocks for kids set up.
See, this is the problem with stocks is everyone thinks it's an overnight rich thing. It's not. It never was.
I mean, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yep. But if you can make it to the end, you're rich.
I'm just sprinting to the scooter so that I can use the scooter to sprint further.
Exactly. But if we got anything wrong or if you want to explain something else or if you have questions, we have an email open, brokerboyspod@gmail.com, podcast. And I'll get the Twitter and Instagram rolling, and then we'll start posting, loss porn or gain porn on our Instagram, Twitter.
Heard.
And, put out definitions. Show everything that's going on. And, like halfway through, I'm like I don't know how long it takes for Weeble to get my money. So I'm like, just send it. Stop using Robinhood. It's so hard, though.
It is so hard.
The second my GameStop is done, it's all getting transferred over to Robinhood or to Weeble. But that's it. And, see you next week.
Peace.
Peace.
Later.